Welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program here Thursday night, coming to you live at 8 p.m. New York time, 5 p.m. Pacific, July 23rd, 2012. We have a fascinating show tonight discussing planetary positions and their correlations to changes in the market. Fascinating study. We have a special guest on tonight, Norm Winsky, who is the author of the AstroTrend newsletter and has been for many years. We're going to talk about the correlations of what's happening in astronomy and on Wall Street. Norm Winsky has been trading professionally for more than 30 years, including 12 years of experience as a member of major exchanges. The August 1991 issue of Technical Analysis in Stocks and Commodities magazine named Norm Winsky a certified technical genius. In his education, Mr. Winsky graduated from Indiana State University, and he has a bachelor's degree in finance, minors in economics and political science, May 1775, and he became a market maker in the Chicago Board Options Exchange, where he continued until 1987. 1985 to 1987, he was a member and floor trader on the Chicago Board Trade. In his years of experience, he studied a wide area of sciences and studies of many kind, and he has put them together in sort of a quilt work of ideas that he simplifies for us so that we can understand how there are influencing elements that are cyclical in the market and pretty much our lives around us. His AstroTrend newsletter has been published since 1978, and he has continuously edited and published a monthly newsletter, which he believes is the most comprehensive astrological advisory service in the world. The monthly newsletter covers daily analysis for 24 different futures markets and is also a detailed daily analysis with intraday key times that are especially valuable for day traders. So all that aside, I would like to bring on Norm to our program. Hello, Norman. Are you there?
Hello, Dave. This is Norm. Thanks
Norm
for having
Winsky.
Me on your program.
Thank you, and welcome to the Cycles of Change. Norman, would you tell us a little bit about what is the work that you do and what do you detail in the AstroTrend newsletter?
I will do that in one moment, but first we have to tell the folks that futures and options trading is not suitable for all investors. The risk of loss is substantial. An investor could lose more than the initial investment. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results.
Thank you, Norman. It's a very sensible and responsible thing to remind people. And I know that you exercise great care in any advisories that you give based on your analysis and everything, because it's a person's own choice what they do. And you do this with a serious sense of responsibility. Folks, I also want you to know that he made some very marvelous calls in his last newsletter. And you can look at some of the results of this while you're listening to the program. I've posted this. I started the Cycles blog on my website in order to be able to bring things like this important bit of news from Norm Winsky. Go to my site at kalarhythms.org. That's kalarhythms.org. And you will see there, right on the homepage, a link where Norm Winsky calls the S&P with planetary station points. And you can follow along with that. Also, Norman, I want to mention your site. It's astro-trends.com. Astro-trends.com. But
Make sure you make that singular.
Astro-trend. Astro-trend, ladies and gentlemen, .com. Astro-trend. Excuse me, Norm. .com. And also, Norm, you're going to be announcing a telephone number that people can call you. In fact, I believe you prefer people to call and ask, because you give people personal attention over the phone, and you give a free introductory conference over the phone with people, do you not?
Absolutely, and they can get a free free market letter.
Well, that's marvelous. Okay, we're going to go into this, but Norman, would you please mention that number where people can reach you? And folks, write this down now, because you're going to find this pretty interesting.
Okay, just don't call during our interview.
You know, no, don't call during the interview, no.
Right. But my number is 239-594-3939. That's 239-594-3939.
Okay, we're going to announce that again later on the show, and repeating that you can look at some of the charts that were prepared by Norman, who called these things in advance, and you're going to want to see this chart. Kalarhythms.org, K-A-L-A, rhythms.org. Just look for the link for Norm Winsky right there on the homepage, upper left. So, Norman, do tell us, Norm, a little bit about, well, what it is that you do and what the newsletter is all about.
Okay, well, I've over the many years here, I've worked to find correlations between planetary movements and the markets.
So, and
just for example, a simple example is the research paper you posted on your blog there, Dave, about the what's called station points. Station points have to do with the relative motion of the Earth to the planet. So, just for example, if you're driving on the highway and somebody passes you, if you suspend your rational mind for a moment, you might have the sensation that you're going backwards, but you're, you know, even though you're actually going forwards. Well, if you go out every night in the night sky and you were to plot the planets on a chart, you would notice that at times it would appear as though that the planets actually stop their motion and then turn and start moving back the opposite direction for a while. And that's called, that's a station point. There's two kinds of station points. One is direct, where the planet turns to go forward, direct, and then retrograde. That's when the planet is going in backwards motion.
Parallax, the apparent motion of one body in motion when viewed from another body of motion. And if we're inside track in comparison to Mars, Mars might look like it's moving steady in one direction until we start whipping around the sun. Before it makes a turn around the sun, then it's going to go backwards from our point of view and then start going forward again. It took a long time for people to figure that out over the centuries, actually, didn't it, Norm?
I'm not sure about the exact history of that, but I could just tell you that I have observed that when these planets have this station point where it tends to stop and then turn, that tends to be a correspond to not only what appears to be some something of an energy shock to the solar system, but it translates into markets. I mean, if you were to ask me what's the simplest and most powerful technique I could teach you in a very short amount of time, this would be it. You know, that the station points, look at the where the you can go buy a cheap what's called ephemeris planetary book of tables. You know where the planets are.
Yeah.
And you could track this for you know $5 or $10 a book. You know and and it would show in there the planets turning retrograde or direct. And if you mark those on your calendar for, and look, watch the market, you would see a very high correlation for the market to change direction at those points.
So our relative position in motion seems to reverse, and it has these standing points. You compared it to throwing a ball up in the air, and at one point it stops going up and it stands still very briefly, and then it starts to come down.
Right. There's a zero momentum point there, you know.
Indeed. Now, on your chart, you identify that there were numerous station points to be found in this month. And
over the past several months. In the research article that you posted on your blog there, Dave, I highlighted what's called the outer planets. Those are the planets from Jupiter on out, Jupiter through Pluto. Those tend to be the long-term cycles and people that study astral cycles, planetary cycles, consider these to be the most powerful. And so I focused on those, and you can see that there have been four of these points since April. And three of the four points identified to the day important turning points in the market. And the only one was off a little bit. In July, we were off by one day.
Yeah, you have significant points on April 10th, on June 4th, on June 25th, and July 12th. And each time there was a significant dip in the market.
Right. That's correct.
That is,
Two of those were the low of the month, the one in April and the one in June. The first one in June, the June 4th one, and the April 10th one, those were both the low of the month to the day.
To the day, yeah. And this chart, folks, you can see how that was forecast and how it played out.
Right.
That is truly, truly amazing. So in addition to station points, do you take the combined effect of these planets? Do you have a planetary plotting line that you put together?
Right. Well, another factor to look at is the angular relationships between the planets. This is sort of based on some degree. It's actually based on harmonics, which, you know, you learn about this sort of thing in an indirect way through astrological theory, over which has been accumulated over thousands of years. But certain angles are considered positive and certain angles are considered negative. So, for example, if Jupiter were 90 degrees to Uranus, well, that's one-fourth of a circle, 90 degrees. There's four 90-degree angles in a circle, 360 degrees in a circle, and the 90-degree angle is considered negative. In contrast, if the Jupiter were 120 degrees to Uranus, that would be considered positive. Now, I have a little shortcut that I teach my students, and I don't think you'll find this in any book anywhere, that I figured out sort of a numerological pattern here within these angles. And that is that all the angles that add up to the number 9 are tend to be negative. So your 90-degree angles, your 270-degree angle, the 45-degree angle, all tend to have a negative influence. And then the angles, the digits add up to a 3 or a 6 tend to be positive.
So at the quarter points, first, second, and third quarters, which is what you get at 90, 180, and 270, there's a bit of a negative influence for that time.
Right, it's considered stressful or negative influence, right?
Interesting. And so you also then you plot all the planets individually, and you do the composite line, and you're following many things. You're looking at foreign currencies, the Standard & Poor's cash index, and on T-bonds, the dollar.
Right, I'm covering
and
about
so
covering about 30 markets. So we have the stock, all your your major financials. You have your U.S. stock market, treasury bonds, U.S. dollar. We have the currencies. We have all the major commodities. Let's see. We think we have cocoa. Let me get to the list here real quick, and we can run down the list here, and I'll give you some insights into sort of some of the logic I use for this.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the hold on one second. We have cattle, cocoa, coffee, copper, corn, cotton. The CRB is a commodity, a basket of commodity index. Gold, hogs, what was that? Oh, yeah, and let's see, oats, crude oil, OJ, silver, soybeans, stocks, sugar, T-bonds, and wheat.
My goodness, you certainly do your homework, and I found that out in conversations with you, and you give detailed analysis.
Right.
But you break it down simply that we can all understand this.
Right. Now, in the front of the letter, as you found out, Dave, I do two things there in the front of the letter. We have the forecast. I always recap the forecast from the previous month and then show you the actual results of how those came out. And then we have the for the highlighted markets. And then we have the forecast for the coming month. And much of that data is taken from, I have a timetable, a calendar for all these major markets that shows you the planetary activity for that month for all the different markets. So you can see at a quick glance where the big energy, where the big action is likely to be for the various markets. So you can decide which is the best market to be looking at. I also have that listed in the front of the letter there. Here's the most likely, what I call the monitor, sort of the top 10 or 12. Here are the best markets to be watching this month.
Yeah, so you're basically giving yourself reviews on this, and you're impartial at it. You know, you have an how it came out section, but you should have the confidence to do that, because your predictions, your forecasts seem to come out with good accuracy. And then when I look at this, I can see what the helio position of Jupiter is and going into Gemini and so forth. And so I see that there's a real basis on this. Sometimes when I listen to economists, and it's hard to get two economists to agree, you hear compound theories that have these mathematical formulas for detrended data over the square root of pi or something like that. And you realize they're basically manipulating their mathematical equations to fit the results at the time of whatever they're analyzing. So they're applying an abstract theory based on data, which is subjective. But when you realize that there are real underlying causes that are not theoretical, then you don't have to be thrown off by the variations of how they manifest, which is always there. The underlying reality of influence can be found right here in the physical objects of our own solar system. That's what fascinates me with this work. because there's a physical reality based on that. And what good is mathematics unless it applies to something that we can hold as real? And then, you know, we observe this and analyze it through the anecdotal evidence of our own behavior, which is monitored on a daily basis through the market and so forth. But, you know, I have a question I want to ask you, Norm. Something that has puzzled economists for a long time, and I've never heard anybody tell me that they've heard anything different other than nobody has an answer for this. Tell me about what are inversions in the market, Norm?
Okay, well, the inversion I think you're referring to is, and I slightly alluded to that in that research paper you put on your blog there, having to do with, I think, I don't know that I've solved the whole picture, the whole problem here. That's the big conundrum, the big problem for anybody working with cycles, is that on occasion the cycles all tend to invert. In other words, they're all, when you thought the cycles were down, they turn up, and up is down. You know, up is down, and down is up.
Yes, and
so,
I heard one description of it.
That's the big downfall of many cycle analysts. And I think that I've made a significant advance here in identifying that high probability, but let's say that there's a good possibility that when these planets do have a station point, in other words, they turn retrograde or direct, that's a polarity flip point. In other words, you have a point there where the energy can invert so that the positive energy turns negative and the negative energy turns positive. It's kind of like when I was a kid, I used to play with those little electric motors. You'd buy at the five a dime,
yeah.
And you put a little battery on the wires there, and the motor would run. And then if you flip the battery around the other way, the motor would run the opposite direction. Well, that's a polarity flip, you know.
But so with the same amount of energy.
Right.
That's the other way.
You're just flipping the energy there to run the other direction. So what you would assume would be positive is negative, and what you would think is negative turns positive. A recent example of this was during the July, we had some major planetary cycles, which under the traditional rules would have been considered possibly cataclysmic, disastrous cycle. And people were talking about months in advance that July of 2012, what kind of disaster, calamity, was going to befall the world? You know, what kind of terrible things were going to happen? Well, there was no great calamity, and in fact, the market went up in July. So, what happened if you followed my planetary forecast as we went along there? Toward the end of June, we ended up in the inverted mode, and so the positive was negative, and negative was positive, and we actually flipped around, and then when the energy turned positive in the latter part of July, somewhere around the July the 12th there, Uranus turned retrograde, flipped the energy the other way, and then we got on that track, and then and the market went up. So, that's a good example of how the so-called negative or disastrous planetary configuration can be turned on its head, you know?
And this drives economists nuts. I heard one person describe it as an inversion can be that your market indicator that you're following will move just at the time that you thought it would move. It moves as much as you thought it was going to move based on your cyclical analysis, but then it does so in exactly the opposite direction. So here it is expending the amount of energy that you expect going exactly the wrong way. And I've heard many people be perplexed by this, but this is the first time I've heard a tangible explanation for it, because a planet hits a station for it, goes into retrograde, the relative position to us is reversing the energy in a way. So we're expending that same amount of energy in the opposite direction as the parent motion of the planets influencing us are moving in the opposite direction. And all of a sudden, a light went on in my head when I heard that. Folks, I want you to know, you can call in with your questions here at 347-884-9593. Call in with your questions, 347-884-9593. And Norm, you'll pardon me, I do believe we have a caller on the line already.
Great.
I would like to, shall we take a question, Norm?
Sure, absolutely.
All righty.
Let's do it.
Hi, this is Dave at the Cycles of Change Radio. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, sir, and who are you?
My name is Grant Noble. I am a futures trader here in Lake Forest. It's 30 miles north of Chicago. I've written a book called The Trader's Edge. I write a market letter, which Norm gets in return for his letter, which I think is an unequal trade, but he's very generous. And I do write, you know, for a lot of people you might see on TV, like Mark Faber or Jim Bianco and other people, actually get my letter. And I want to say, you know, I was delighted to call in and tell everybody that I have many relationships with other, what I would call financial astronomical people, and Norm is probably the most accessible and one of the best in the business. And what I wanted to tout on tonight is the one thing that I don't see anybody else doing is what they call a natal chart of the United States. States, was founded July 4th, 1776, and you'll have to tell me, Norm, what hour you use. I think it was 2 a.m. or some weird hour. And I have found that his natal chart things, which are completely unique, often have a major impact. For example, on August 5th, 2011, in his August letter, way beforehand, he said that the United States would probably have a possible downgrade of U.S. credit. And that was an amazing call. I saw that, and I said, this was an incredible call, and it's not blind luck. It's a little bit of skill. And, for example, this month, on August the 10th, he had Saturn 90 degrees to U.S. Mercury. He said it would be a negative, and it was a low. And this often occurs, for example, just to give your listeners a heads up, on 8:30 he has Jupiter parallel to U.S. Uranus, and he has that as a positive. I think that a 30th could be a top for a lot of other reasons, but this is, in this business, you're trying to add up all the factors, and it's sort of like it's an art. But it's also a science, and it really helps when you have somebody like Norm to give you a lot of different ideas to think of, and you've kind of filtered it all with the other ideas that are out there and your own ideas, and it's a great help to have his newsletter, and I really, really appreciate getting it. So, and this U.S. natal thing, I don't know why it works. I have some my theories, and maybe Norm has some theories too, but I can tell you that this is unique to him. And it's a tremendous, tool at times. At least it's an addition that nobody else has. So,
I appreciate that coming from someone who's in the field. What was the name of your book again, sir?
It's called The Trader's Edge, and I always tell people to get it for $10 used on Amazon because it's out of print. It was printed in 1994. It's a good book, and, a lot of people liked it, and I sold thousands of copies, and I got royalty for a long time. And my publisher wanted me to publish another book, but, you don't make too much money publishing books. You either make it money trading or managing money, and that's what I've been doing since then. So
you've been using the very theories that you put in the book and
Yes, I have. Yeah, but the one thing I have changed from the book, and I think the book holds up pretty well. The one thing I would add today, besides the fact that I did a lot of inflation-adjusted charting, and today I think the inflation numbers out of the government are so bogus it is not worth doing. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I would add, too, would be the astro finance portion. To me, it's one of the things that I kind of knew about. I knew about the moon cycles. I knew something. But about 2002, I started to realize this really had a tremendous validity. I even understood. I started doing the research on the science of it, and it's perfectly, there's a book called The Roadmap of Time that I remember reading, and a guy named Raymond Wheeler predicted that the world would have a peak in prosperity and warmth in 2001 and 2002, and this was back in the 1940s based on cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is nothing, there is a cycle in human nature, and it's based on planetary motion. And there's a couple, he has talked about the energy. There's two forms of energy. There are three forms of energy in the solar system. There are energies from the planets. There's energy of the sun, and the sun goes through a cycle of peak energy, and then, every few hundred years it goes into low energy, and it has nothing to do with CO2. And then there's also something called the galactic center, which is a cosmic ray machine. Mm-hmm. And when there's a lot of cosmic rays, it's cold because there's a lot of clouds in the sky. And so these are three scientific factors, and this is not just, you know, your horoscope that you read in the paper. This is very based on science, and Norm does a good job of kind of bringing a lot of different aspects to the table. And I, as I say, I really appreciate getting his letter, and I'm glad, you know, he's accepting my letter as payment, So I definitely wanted to be one of the first ones to call in and tell everybody that's listening that you really should get his free offer, you know. Well, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Just go get it. If you can't fit it in, sometimes even the best techniques don't fit in with what you're doing. But I would say for 90% of you, you should be able to get something out of his letter.
And that's from somebody who's active in the field. And some of those things he mentioned, Norm, are they consistent with the things that you're looking at? Because I know there are a world of different things working together that you follow for you to come up with your conclusions.
Absolutely. He had some good theoretical points there, I think, you know.
Indeed, indeed. So, okay, and the number again, Norm, where people can call you?
That's 239-594-3939. That's 239-594-3939. I am in Florida on Eastern time, and hopefully I'll be here after the hurricane on Monday, you know?
Yes, I hope so. And, folks, you can follow along with one of the charts we're looking at kalarhythms.org, kalarhythms.org. I was blown away to see, some of the things that are just ahead of us. You made a prediction here. It was cited for just 7 days from now, a positive point on August 30th. So we'll be following along and seeing how many of these things come along. So, Norman, what first led you to look to the solar system, to the heavenly bodies around us, for influences on what's happening here in our everyday lives in the market?
Skepticism.
Yes.
I was a college student. I was in a bookstore looking at it just to kill some time, and saw this, you know, like in the summer school. I was going to summer school and kind of in the summer school mode there, and just looking around for something to entertain myself, and I saw this book on astrology, and I thought that would be good for a laugh. You know, I thought it was a crock. And I guess astrology had the last laugh because I took that. Well, I was always fascinated. I always had an inclination for studying people, you know, just the people behavior and things like that, human behavior. Yeah. And so if I went out on a date or something and I started talk to anybody for a minute or two, I picked up little clues, little tricks on people's psychology, people's personalities, and so forth. Like one little trick is the what's called sibling order. I don't know if you're familiar with that theory or not. Sibling order theory.
No, what is it?
Oh, sibling order theory has to do with, you can Google that. There's lots of books out on that. That where you fall in the sibling order, you know, whether you're the first, second, third child, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. it helps shape your personality. What kind of?
Oh, I believe that. Oh, yeah, I believe that. And the eldest sometimes tend to be leaders, and there's middle child syndrome.
Right.
The youngest tend to be smarter, right?
The first child tends to be the serious achiever type, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, and then if you have a second child, that tends to be the more outgoing, sociable party kid, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Very good, very good.
So, so I would go out, maybe go out on a date with a girl or something, and then and talk to her for a minute or two, and go, "Say, you're." And she, if she would be kind of serious, I'd go, "Say, you have any brothers and sisters?" Yeah, I said, "Are you the oldest?" Yeah, how'd you know that? You know, they thought I was a genius, you know.
But it's simple.
So I was always fascinated with kind of, you know, figuring out people's personalities and how they behaved and so forth. So I see this book and I thought, oh, this will be good entertainment. You know, I'll take this back to the dorm there and try it out on my friends. And so I did that and it's like, wow, this seems kind of work. You know, kind of fits these people. So I said, gee, there's got to be more to this than just one book. And so then I got a few more books and studied for about a year or so. Then here's the really crazy story. So then I'm back at that same bookstore again. Mm-hmm. About a year later, and I'm just kind of looking around in that bookstore, and way down on the bottom shelf by the floor where there is an empty bookcase where there were no books, down by the floor, I get down on my hands and knees and see this little pamphlet lying on its side in there all by itself. I pull this thing out, And it's this is one of the classics of financial astrology. And by the way, I got to give you a little background. I had been looking at kind of studying the stock market since I was about 15. So I'd been at this point studying the stock market for, I don't know what, maybe 4 or 5 years or something, maybe 4 years. And so I was very aware of the markets, and I knew that the market had a lot to do with human psychology, and I sort of intuitively thought that there must be a link between mass psychology and the markets, you know. So then I see this book, which pulled it all together for me, Donald Bradley's Stock Market Prediction. Some people out there may have heard of the Bradley Index, which is kind of well-known among the market analysts and cycles people. And that comes from that book. And so I find this book, and there it is. It's all laid out, how the planets are connected to the planetary cycles, are connected to the mass psychology and the market. And Bradley, way in advance, forecasted the market moves and showed you how he did that. And he, for example, correlated the Jupiter-Uranus cycle, which I kind of sort of alluded to a little while ago, that the different phases of Jupiter-Uranus is about a 13-year cycle, and you go through the different angles as it goes around, and that corresponds to the 40, everybody knows about the 41-month business cycle. I think they teach that at Harvard Business School.
That's been around for years.
Exactly, and there it is right there in that book. And it's like, wow, and I was very familiar with the, particularly familiar with the 41 business cycle, because I grew up in with a family background of several generations of scrap dealers, so I grew up hearing all about copper prices, and our income and our prosperity was very much tied to the business cycle. So I was very familiar with that, and gone and researched copper prices, and the very first stocks I was ever interested in were copper mining stocks. So I was very familiar with that, and so went and researched that, and it turned out it worked really well. So then I got Donald Bradley's book, and he had a good bibliography in the back of his book, so I could continue getting more books and studying, and just continued on that path, and sort of took some of his ideas and added some of my own, and here we are 40 years later.
and lending support to the observation that the planetary bodies are influencing our behavior, and our behavior shows up in the market, is the fact that many of our renowned scholars in economics were following the planets. And there was quite a bit of time where they were a little bit shy about bringing this out because they didn't want to be dubbed with the A word. And if anyone said, well, you're using astrology, all of a sudden the concept would be nullified before the listener would learn the data. But now the rift between astronomy and astrology may be lessening to some degrees. We're starting to take a holistic view, not just in medicine, and a holistic view in religion. We're taking a holistic view of our own behavior, and we're realizing that the moon does change our behavior. The 11-year sunspot cycle changes our behavior, and the gravity and the pull and the motion and the relative positioning of the planets change our behavior. And we have to remember that what is showing up on these graphs and stock prices and trading and bonds and so forth is our behavior. So psychology is important.
Absolutely. Well, that's what why I was really fascinated me about the markets was it was just a manifestation of mass psychology. So that's what it's really, really what fascinating to me about the whole study, and then the fact that you could have these planetary cycles, which are predictable. Planetary cycles are predictable. I can tell you where the planets are going to be 10 years from now or tomorrow or next week, whatever you want. So if we can find some correlative factor there between the planetary movements and the markets, we should be able to make some reasonable forecast,
Well, this is the thing that interested me, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that it's based on reality. I've seen a lot of theories about the market, and the formulas get more and more complex as more and more data points come in over time. They keep adjusting the theory to fit the facts. But when you have an observation of something that is fixed in its motion, and you have that anchor point of reality, and you can find something that correlates with that, it gives me a little bit more interest in that, because you're getting abstract and abstract otherwise, and you wind up fishtailing. And it can work for a while, and then it can look real good, and then we'll phase out of that and not know why. Sometimes we'll phase back in and phase out. But when you're following the motions of the planets and you can make calls on that, that's something that's consistent. So I'd rather.
To think of the solar system as nature's computer. You have this giant calculator out there with all these cycles built in, and it's, you know, there's really two types of intelligence. You know, there's the book learning type intelligence with all the formulas that you were describing, all your abstract formulas and everything.
Yeah.
And then there's sort of nature's intelligence. You know, some of the greatest discoveries in medicine and science all came from nature. You know, the Wright brothers, they didn't go study a bunch of abstract books and theory in physics, and there was no aerodynamics there or anything, hardly anything at all like that. So it all came, you know, when I was a kid, I read lots of biographies. One of the biographies I read was about the Wright brothers, and one of the Wright brothers, I forget which one it was, whether it was Orville or Wilbur, was an avid bird watcher. He studied birds. He studied how they flew, and so that's where a lot of the knowledge and technology they had, they studied the shape of their bird's wing and so forth. A lot of that knowledge was translated to how to build an airplane.
And as we move out of the 20th century, we're hearing less the phrase man against nature, you know, which is a little bit arrogant, and it winds up, guess who wins? So now what we're doing is we're finding more intelligent ways to work with nature. And
exactly.
We should be
in unison with nature, just like, you know, you can go out, you know, let's say you wanted to go, move across the water. You can work your fanny off there, rowing or swimming, or you can get in a sailboat and catch the wind and let the wind do the work for you.
And work with the currents instead of trying to go in a straight line, which would have been the machine age way of doing that.
Right. Exactly.
Absolutely. So you're working with the rhythms.
I like to harness the forces and intelligence that's built into the universe, into nature there, to my advantage.
Well, and I think you learned how to dance here. Folks, you're listening to the Cycles of Change radio program here on blogtalkradio.com/cycles, where you can not only listen to us live every Thursday night at 8 p.m. New York time, 5 p.m. Pacific, but you can go in and listen to our archives like this program and previous shows. And we're talking with Norm Winsky and his Astro Trend newsletter. And we're following along on kalarhythms.org, kalarhythms.org, where you can see one of his charts posted right there with a link to it from the homepage in case you want to follow along. So where do you see where we are right now in terms of our behavior, how it's influencing the market as a result of the planetary's positions, where they are now and where they're going, Norm?
Well, I can only tell you very short term because I just started working on the September letter, so I don't really have a very good outlook for the coming month, you know, so I haven't quite gotten to where I have that outlook yet for September.
So well, people are going to be able to call you, and did you say they get a free copy of the newsletter if they call you?
Absolutely. That's 239-594-3939. That's 239-594-3939. Now, the short-term cycles over the next several days are rather negative, but the big guys, some of the bigger cycles, as our friend Grant called in earlier and alluded to, toward the end of next week, we have some positive things kicking in there. So we might have sort of a negative trend here for a few days, but you might see a little bit of flattening out or strength into the Labor Day weekend. I have a big cluster there into the end of next week and into the Labor Day weekend. Now, here's a big picture thing that's happening on the over the Labor Day weekend. There is you're probably familiar with this, Dave. You were once affiliated with the Foundation for the Study of Cycles, and they did that fantastic study where they took all their computer-filtered cycles and put them on one big matrix, and so you could see what were the top cycles that they had found. And they looked at everything. They looked at markets. They looked at links reproduction. They looked at church memberships, anything you can imagine that might have any kind of rhythms, frequency, cycles, whatever. They threw that into the computer there and then let the computer go and try to find rhythms and frequencies of these things and then spit it all out into a ranking to see what the most significant cycles are. Do you remember that study, Dave?
Yes, and that was massive.
That was great. And so one of the top cycles that they found was there was a huge cluster of cycles between 18 and 19 years. Well, there's a cycle called the moon's north node, which has to do with the moon as it orbits the Earth. There's the intersection point there where it crosses as it goes up, around the Earth. and crosses the ecliptic, that point moves through the zodiac backwards in reverse order, and that takes 18.6 years. And I have found that where the moon changes signs, which would be approximately every, well, it's a fractal, you know fractals, Dave. It's an 18.6-year cycle, and it stays. Here's the mathematically a really cool thing. It stays in each sign about 18.6 months, okay?
Yeah.
And it moves 1 degree in about 18.6 days, sort of a neat mathematical thing there, you know?
Indeed.
But when it changes signs, you get a shift in the economy. And this is in the past corresponded with some major tops and bottoms in the economy. So, for example, near the gold top back in 1980, you know, you had a big gold bubble there in 1980.
Oh, yeah.
That, tied to the Bunky Hunt, the Hunt brothers and so forth.
Well, and they manipulated the silver market, so claimed
absolutely.
The investigators.
But near the top in gold in January, just after that, the node changed signs, and that corresponded to the top of the gold, which lasted for until last year, you know?
Indeed. So, and these are the Saros cycles of the moon, are they not? And so we're finding a correlation, once again, between
the bodies. So now the node is going to leave the sign Sagittarius. And now, remember, it goes backwards to the sign. So it's right at the beginning of Sagittarius now, over the Labor Day weekend, and it will be leaving Sagittarius and going into the back end of Scorpio, because it's going backwards, you know. Now, Scorpio has to do with debt, interest rates, and the commodities to watch there are cocoa and hogs. And so this will be in like an 18-month trend that should build for the following 18 months. And I'm you know, you saw in the letter there where on the on my fractal model there, we had a major top forecast for late July and early August. And I think this is further reinforced by the nodal change as the node goes into Scorpio. And Saturn is also in the process of going into Scorpio. We're going to have a big Scorpio theme here for the next couple of years. And I think this all corresponds with a major, major bottom in the interest rates. I think we've kind of come to the end of this this free ride here, if you're borrowing money at cheap rates. I think you're going to see the interest rates probably move up. And another thing that that supports that idea is the sunspot cycle, which you alluded to a little while ago. There have been studies that show that interest rates tend to follow the sunspot cycle, but I think it tends to lag by about 12 to 18 months.
Indeed. And we may be around solar maxima around this time. So that's a possibility as well. So there's a great turning point just before us, and some of that begins, well, next month, coming up.
Right.
It's exciting
so
to watch this happen live.
There's some big picture stuff, you know?
Yeah. And in the fractal relationship, you mentioned the fractal influence, which is, of course, small things being repeated on grander scales and smaller scales within it. So we have fractal rhythms at play. So we're having cycles great and small influencing us, yet we can make heads and tails out of all of this by just watching the nature around us instead of working against nature and being caught by surprise. That happens to us too. When there's a major collapse that was due, it may have been due cyclically. It could be that there's a composite of cycles happening. We don't understand there's more than one cycle happening at a time. And if you try to flatten out the data and look for, well, wars happen on an average of so many years. Well, yeah, that might be an average, but there's a cycle of this many years and a cycle of that many years and so on, each causing different influences in different aspects of our society. So you have to have a three-dimensional model in your thinking in order to do this rather than coming up with flat analysis. And by looking to the heavenly bodies, we have the solar system clock with many wheels turning at the same time. So
I agree.
This is exciting.
Let me share with you some of the stuff people are listening to. That's really, you know, thinking, gee, that's really interesting, but I could never do that. Well, let me just show you some of the simple logic underlying some of the analysis that I do in the letter here, in particular, the commodities are really actually it's almost funny. You know, it's like I made this stuff up. You know, it's on a very a grade school elementary level that you think, oh, he's just making up bad jokes. You know, for example, are we okay there, Dave?
We're okay. We're good.
Okay, for example, you have your signs of the zodiac. Okay. So one of the signs of zodiac is Taurus the bull.
Yep.
Okay. It turns out, as you might guess, Dave, that Taurus the bull works very well with the cattle market. So Taurus
the
bull.
That's a sign of it. Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
And so that's the sort of the simple logic that goes into the analysis. So what we look for is when a planet is doing something with the sign Taurus, or it's making some angular relationship to Taurus, or with each sign has what's called a planetary ruler, a planet associated with it. If something's
yes.
happening with that planet, in this case, Venus is said to be the planetary ruler of Taurus, then we look for that's energy for that particular sector or market. So in this case, that would be for cattle. So we will look for a turning point for cattle. I think I reviewed last month, I had cattle highlighted as one of my top markets for the month of June during the month of June, and I reviewed this in the July letter, and we had four key dates listed for cattle for June, and other four, one was the high of the day to the day, one was the low of the, I'm sorry, the high of the month to the day, another was the low of the month to the day, and by the way, not only was it these 2 points to the day, the high of the month, I think, occurred within 35 minutes of the opening, and the low of the month occurred right on the opening and then reversed. And then the other 2 points, one was a short-term high and the other was a short-term low. So we're very accurate on the cattle there in the month of June, and I even, in the July review there, I even made a joke. I was so impressed myself, I sort of made a joke that, gee, with the cattle being this accurate, you'd think they were reading their daily horoscopes, you know?
Well, it's exciting watching it happen live because you open your letters with a how it came out section, and then I can see, you know, some looks ahead throughout the month. I can watch it live. I can hardly wait to see what's going to be happening in September when that comes out. Folks, you can call in to the show if you have any questions at 347-884-9593. 347-884-9593. Well, let's put this to the test again, Norm. You know, my sign is Virgo. How would you take, you know, a practical application of the aspects of Virgo in analyzing the market?
Okay, well, Virgo has to do with the grains and the grains in general. Now we can break out the different grains and get more specialized, but Virgo covers the grains in general. And you know, if you ever go to Chicago and look at the Chicago Board of Trade building, you'll see the grain goddess on top of the building there, and that has to do with the old Greek mythology of the grain goddess in the field there, and that's all related to Virgo. And so specifically Virgo is, well, generally Virgo is grains in general, but specifically it's connected to soybeans. And then we break out the different grains by way of Virgo / Libra has to do more with wheat and also sugar, because Libra is said to be a sweet and charming sign. And in fact, I had a... used to know an astrologer who by no coincidence was a Libra, and she always said that the Libra was the sweetest sign of the zodiac. And from that, I derived that I'm going to go test the Libra for sugar, and sure enough, Libra works great with sugar, you know?
We can't forget the practical applications and to always remember to look to nature around us. And as you leave no stone unturned when you're making your planetary index, you also put in a Fibonacci composite of averages as well. And, you know, many of our listeners are going to know that Fibonacci derived his mathematical formula by watching nature. And the Fibonacci sequence is replete through nature. So we have some basis here, and you're using a mathematical formula, using that in your composite averages with your planetary index, aren't you, Norm?
Absolutely. I'd like to think that everything I'm doing in my letter here is sort of to borrow from the popular marketing phrases. I have an all natural letter here, you know. No artificial ingredients. It's all borrowed from nature, you know. So we have the planets is nature, and we have the Fibonacci is all from nature, and we have the fractals is, I think, rooted in nature, and so forth. So it's an all-natural letter, you know.
So if you get any success from some of the things you find in here, folks, it's not a NutriSeat letter, and it won't give you a stomachache. So
exactly.
Based on the wholesome aspects of nature. Best mathematical
Was grown. What's the artificial sweetener that kills rats?
Saccharin.
Saccharin. No saccharin in here, right?
Yeah, that was removed long, long time ago and everything like that. So it's fascinating because you have an eclectic study here and because you found a correlation between some of these studies that complement each other and you put them together in what I call a quilt work when you these things are not competing with each other. You know, that's where the sciences are going. We're realizing that you don't just compartmentalize one school of thought and compete it against another one and believe them and to be mutually exclusive in a zero-sum game and academic arguments and so forth. What we're finding now is as we move beyond Newtonian and Cartesian thought, we're moving into a quantum world of looking at physics where things have a tendency to exist and the rules seem to change at different levels. But we're just discovering more of how to understand the world around us beyond the oversimplified models that we constructed for our own understanding. So with that, we're applying some more quantum principles, if I may use that term, for how we look at nature and how we look at our own behavior and a deeper understanding on how that's going to show up in moving lines of the graphs as we chart what's happening in the market. That's why I'm excited about the Astro Trend newsletter, because you put all these things in here that I can identify with and that I understand, and they're based, their reality is based in nature. That's what I like about this. So, and indeed. Hey, I heard a little bit of static there. Norm, are you still connected?
I'm still here, sir.
Okay, very good, very
Maybe
good.
Maybe people would enjoy, we could go off on a tangent here and I could talk about some really big picture things, sort of get into some astrological theory about, you know, 2,000-year cycles and that sort of thing, you know? You want to do that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're in the final 9 minutes of the show. Give us a very nutshell of some of the bigger cycles that are moving at the same time, not just what we're going to do with day-to-day trading here. Where are we in the large cycles of time?
Oh, you're talking about what I just mentioned, or for the
like
market?
2,000-year cycles and so
forth.
Oh,
okay. Well, that's more of a sociological thing. That has to do with more major, you know, cultures and societies and things like that. So, you know, let me just give you a few examples of how this corresponds to, you know, the astrological signs. In that, you know, you and I talked earlier, Dave, about that there's a cycle called the precession of the equinox, which is I think you got there pretty close to the exact number there, Dave, with
25,920 years for the go through the signs of the zodiac. Yeah.
Approximately, right, Dave?
Well, and there's different schools. 25,800 is mentioned, 25,920 is mentioned, but they are all around the same time.
There you go. So, so we go through the different signs. I think it averages about 2,160 years or so.
Yes,
that it takes to go for that precession equinox to move through a sign. So if we go back to ancient Egypt, during the time of the pharaoh, I think you're and now the precession equinox moves backwards through the signs of the zodiac. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So if you go back during the time of Egypt, you have the pharaoh there, and you were during the age of Taurus. Well, since some of the symbology of Taurus is that Taurus is a fixed Earth sign, and one of the things they would do is build the pyramids. That's definitely a fixed Earth thing. It's made out of Earth. It's not moving. It hasn't moved in, those things haven't moved in 4,000 years. And then during these ages, you often get a reflection of the opposite sign, which is Scorpio. Scorpio has to do with death and the afterlife and so forth, and the connection between spirituality and materiality. And that was one of the big things about the Egyptians. They were the most famous, skilled morticians of all time, and they were very obsessed with the whole death thing and whether there was an afterlife or not. Then we moved to the...
So we had these massive earthly structures built as tombs for the afterlife following death.
Exactly. And then as the cycle moved forward, which is actually backwards through the signs, then we moved in the Age of Aries. Well, this is about the time that Moses led the Hebrews out of Egypt, and we got monotheism, you know, toward the end of the Egyptian rule there. Which pharaoh it was who was a monotheist. He didn't survive very long because he turned, you know, he managed to pull that off for a short amount of time, and then the masses turned against him, and then it sort of got passed to the Hebrews and Moses. And so what is some of the symbolism of Aries? Well, Aries is the ram. And what is one of the major symbols of Judaism is the ram's horn. Indeed. And then you have the opposite sign. Remember I mentioned that it reflects the opposite sign.
Yes.
Which is, with the opposite sign of Aries is Libra. Well, Libra is the law. Well, what do we get? We got the Ten Commandments, you see?
Yeah.
And then we fast forward another 2,000 years to the time of Jesus.
Yeah.
And what are the big, the big symbolism of Christianity is the loaves, wheat, Virgo, and the fishes, Pisces. So the precession equinox then moved from Aries into Pisces. It was moving out of Aries into Pisces. Pisces is the fish, right?
Yes.
And the opposite sign is Virgo, is the grains, you see, or wheat. So you have the fishes and the loaves.
Holy cow. Holy
yeah.
So there is a basis
it's very
to some of these things.
Now, the exciting thing here is, well, we're not going to probably be around for this, but, you know, as the old Broadway musical Hair told us, that we're getting close to the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. So we've gone about 2,000 years now. So, you know, maybe your great-great-grandchildren or something like that will experience, you know, the transition to the Age of Aquarius. And I wouldn't be surprised if you get some kind of new world religion and a whole different society, you know, as a result.
I think we're actually starting to move into it now. That's my interpretation, because there have been some wonderful differentiation from that which was familiar. We're rapidly going into some new things, and I'm seeing a lot of it for the better, actually. I know change is a bit hard. We've gone through some economic times. We've gone through some turmoils and international skirmishes here in the last 12 years, very serious, of course. But I see it all as birth pangs of a new era. So maybe the Age of Aquarius is coming upon us already.
Well, I think the typical thing is there's like a transition period, which is called the dawning. I think that's due to start around 2019, just not too long, far down the road here. See, you can time this with the, now if you go back in the ancient astrology and how they used astrology in the old days there, they didn't care about individuals. It was all about big world cycles and how that was going to affect their king, because if their king screwed up, the guys next door were going to invade them and they might get killed, you know?
Yeah.
So they could care more about the kingdom and the king and the country than the individuals. That was what was important. And so they looked at big cycles like Jupiter and Saturn and studied those things. And so there is a Jupiter-Saturn cycle, and actually that's tied to the whole thing about the president's dying every 20 years. You know, William Henry Harrison came into office in 1840, and we had a shift. The Jupiter and Saturn line up together. It's called conjunction, where they're in the same point,
yeah.
And they line up together in this, what's called the same element. Every 120 degrees, you have the same element in the zodiac, like fire, earth, air, water.
Yeah.
And that occurs for about 240 years. Then it shifts to a different element. You start another cycle. Well, when Harris came into the office, the brilliant guy decided to walk to his inauguration on a rainy, cold day in Washington, and then contracted pneumonia, and he was dead in about 30 days. So I kind of believe that he started a cycle there, because we were starting a new cycle with Jupiter and Saturn, changing signs, changing element. It went into the Earth sign then. And so for every president elected during the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in an Earth sign, all those presidents died in office.
My goodness, this is a fascinating thing. When you look at cycles, great and small, I'm glad you covered the spectrum, because when you understand the fractal relationship of cycles and see how they come down to the details of our own history, you can find that not only does the moon have 18-year cycles that correspond with it moving 1 degree, but what you understand in the changes of a civilization over many thousands of years can have correlations as we look at the more rapid trends that are moving in our society. You can think of some of the things that are moving us right now as waves on tides that rise and fall. And then there's patterns of how high the tides will be and how low they are. So here we are, and we've got less than a minute to go. Norm Winsky, I would like to thank you for being on our program. Folks, you can find his site at astro-trend.com. His telephone number is listed on the site that you can give him a call, get a free consultation and a free copy of his newsletter. And I'm surely looking forward to the next one coming out in September. Norm, thank you so much for being on the Cycles of Change radio program.
Thank you very much for having me, Dave.
Well, here we are, the motions of the heavenly bodies around us influencing our behavior, and our behavior influences the market. It all seems natural to me, and there's a lot to learn. And it all becomes simple once you understand that it's based in reality. And that reality is defined in the AstroTrend newsletter, thanks to Norm Winsky and his study of cycles. Thank you for listening to the Cycles of Change radio program. I'm David Katzmeyer, your host. Join us again next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thank you.